Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And this is my biggest beef. Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to say that the Bears have done a great job of developing quarterbacks over the years. Far from it. I would never try to claim such a thing. What I don't like, though, is that when people are like, yeah, the Chicago Bears have not developed a quarterback since Sid Luckman. And it's like, first of all, shut up. Because it's not true. Like Jim McMahon, who I know was 40 years ago, was a very good quarterback. Jay Cutler was a very good quarterback. So I'm not saying that the Bears have done a great job of developing quarterbacks. Just stop using Sid Luckman. Like, stop. Even if you say Jay Cutler, it's still been an obscenely large amount of time, but it's not unusual in the NFL. The Jets have not had a good quarterback for a very long time. The Cleveland Browns have struggled, and they traded for Deshaun Watson, and they've got their own problems. There's a lot of teams. Even if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and you look at the quarterbacks that they went through over the time from Len Dawson to Patrick Mahomes, they went through everybody. Elvis Gerbach, Steve Bono. They had the end of Joe Montana. Joe Montana was actually very good for them. But you know what? Like, the teams go through this. But when you start to throw back to Sid, it's just like it's unnecessarily taking shots. Because just saying that trying to replace Jay Cutler, that's depressing enough, especially given how well our division opponents, the Green Bay Packers, have done. So that's all I want. That's all I'm trying to say. And what I'm also trying to say is, Sammy, let's start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast with Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast. Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick. Sick, sick.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means? It is time for Take It to the Rank. Great show lined up for you tonight. Bear Down Cuz is going to be joining us here in just a matter of moments. Will he be taking a victory lap? Maybe. But we do have so much stuff to go over. The free agency period has started. A lot of movement around the NFL. Not so much with the Chicago Bears, but a lot of things going on. So we'll be talking about that. I do want to say, yeah, I'll probably save it for when Bear Down Cuz is going to be on with us. But there has been a lot of things. Let me just start off by saying this. I know a lot of people have been upset because we have not made a lot of moves. But at the same time, isn't it better? Like, we don't need to be recklessly throwing around money. Look at Mike McGlinchey. Last season, everybody was upset that we did not pay an exorbitant price for Mike McGlinchey, who was he okay? Was he good? Was he a great player? Like, for the money that he was making, he had to restructure his contract already. So sometimes not making a move is the best move. And when it comes to not making moves, the Bears did not make one at the quarterback position. And the guy who actually did break the news last week. It's our friend. We tried to get him on last week. We talked without him behind his back. So we're bringing him on the show right now. Please welcome back our friend, Bear Down Cuz, Big Mikey. I know. Listen, look at that. Grin.
No, I'm laughing because you said you were talking behind my back, but I don't look at it like that.
I was in front of your back. I was in front of your back.
I am public enemy number one on Bears.
No.
Public enemy number one on Bears Twitter, which is fine. I knew that was going to happen. So that when I tweeted that out last Friday, I knew that there was going to be blowback. Did I know to the level of which it was going to be? No, but I mean, this is like the Capulets And what was the Montagues?
Montagues from, and the Capulets.
From Romeo and Juliet, for those of you who don't know, the Sharks and the Jets, the Fields versus the Caleb camp. But I want to start off, Adam, just by saying and stating once again, I came on this show prior to all that a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I want them to trade Justin.
You want them,
I want them to draft Caleb. But I'm just telling you, this was the information that was passed on to me by somebody who is very close to the situation directly, and I trust and has no reason to make things up, because they're not getting any credit for it. They're not getting any, you know, they're not looking for any credit for it. They're outside of the NFL space, but that doesn't mean that they don't have relationships with people directly. So,
I'm trying to figure out, I'm just kidding. It's interesting. Yeah. That was actually the funniest thing I thought about the whole thing, because I got thrown in with the other side, and I thought about this over the weekend. I'm like, Mike actually wants to trade Justin Fields, but now you're kind of looked at by that group like as their savior. And I'm like, no, I don't. I would rather keep Justin Fields. And then the Justin Fields people are mad at me. I'm like, no, we're just telling you what we hear, because as we were doing that show on Friday, and we did, and all things, we tried to get you on, but of course it didn't work out. But I still wanted to go out there and talk about it, because it is very interesting. That I have, you know, people who to me are connected. We're like, no, they still want to. And I'm like, this is what they're telling me. And it's a very similar situation with you. People are telling you like, no, this is what's happening. Now, if you look at the quarterback carousel, it did not fall the way that it would have to have benefited the Bears. Atlanta went with Kirk Cousins. The Steelers went with Russell Wilson. The Giants went with Drew Lock for free. There were some other moves out there. So the Raiders went with Gardner Minshew. When you're talking to your source and not trying to blow this person up or anything like that, did they know that this was the way that the dominoes were going to fall, or were they just like, no, the Bears haven't made a decision yet?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. It wasn't anything like that. And that's what I tried to also relay on Twitter in the follow-ups, you know, to all the chirping and all that. I tried to reiterate that. Number one, the message was that they had no knowledge of what the Bears are going to do with the number one overall pick. So me saying that Fields is going to stay, that was the statement made to me that it was basically he wasn't going anywhere. That it wasn't even in the stratosphere of possibility in the mind of Justin Fields that he was going anywhere. However, people took that and they interpreted it as, oh my God, we're trading the number one pick. Oh my God, we're not taking Caleb Williams. That was never discussed. My source has no idea what the Bears are going to do with the number one overall pick. Now, the source did say that they've been told that Washington is very, very much in the Caleb Williams business. They want to be very much in the Caleb Williams business. But again, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean the Bears are trading one. It's just a statement being made. The concrete statement from a hands-on first-person interaction was that Justin Fields, there is no intention of him going anywhere at this time. I am of the belief that he will get traded eventually. I still believe that. But again, I'm just reporting what someone who's very reliable, who I trust, says to me, because they are much more intimately involved with the situation than I am. So I'm running with that. And then, you know, again, with the pick itself and the carousel, like you said, of all the quarterbacks, the way it fell, obviously that got people more agitated, because when I put out that tweet, a lot of people are like, number one, who are you? Fine, no problem. I'm not in the business.
They do that to me.
Which is ridiculous, because, I mean, you're a credible guy. You're a media guy. You're on NFL Network. I get it a little more with me. I don't do this. This is not my full-time job. I dabble in so many other things in the social media world. But if you have followed me from the beginning, I have been, you know, reporting on and running a social media page on the Bears for almost 10 years. I've made a lot of contacts through doing that, including yourself, Adam. So the contacts do exist, and I do have a couple of them. But all that being said, what I'm trying to say is that once these quarterbacks started falling, like you said, Adam, and Minshew went to Oakland right after, I forget who it was. I think it was Diana Rossini.
Rossini was like, oh, the Raiders are now looking.
Raiders are in trade talks with Fields. And literally not even 5 minutes later, Minshew signed by the Raiders, right? And I'm not discrediting her. I'm just saying the way it fell. Then the Giants went and got Drew Lock. Like you said, the Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. Minnesota takes Sam Darnold. Every single situation, Russell goes to Pittsburgh. Every single situation that could happen is going to agitate people who are really in the Caleb camp. Get this guy, get Fields out of town. And I understand that because it does. It that diminishes the argument on that side a little bit. It doesn't play to the strength of that argument, I should say. Whereas I think everyone thought Fields was going to get traded almost imminently, like right at the opening bell of free agency. So I think people are just a little bit panicked about it. But listen, I still think that he's going to get traded. But again, I'm just going based off of what my source told me. And from what he's indicating to me, Adam, is that he's not going anywhere. And that's direct from the horse's mouth. So that's as good as I could say.
No, and I appreciate that. And I, you know, we kind of said that too. I told everybody, I said, I did not believe that you were making it up. I believe that you were told that and everything. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I do know that. I don't know how if they're as connected as your people. And I think that sometimes too, there are probably people in the building who are convinced one, like usually it comes from the scouting people who pound the table for these certain players who are like, oh, I already know this is what I want to do. It doesn't mean that Ryan Poles is going to do that, but I feel like your information was spot on that the Bears were not going to move it. They were going to let things play out as they were. And as we did that on Friday, Russell Wilson signs on what was it Saturday. And you're like, okay, I see this already going a certain way. And really to me, once Atlanta, you know, when you woke up and you're like, Kirk Cousins is going there. I'm like, for me, I thought like, he's not going anywhere. And it's going to be a situation now where like they have to hold out and kind of see the way the quarterback market goes. Do you think, or if you heard, is there a, I thought about this because people have been asking me for quite some time. Like, hey, why don't they just go with both guys? And I've always kind of pushed it off. Like, no way. Sure. That's a bad idea. It feels more imminent. I don't know. It feels more imminent. Do you think that there's a real possibility the Bears end up at some point having both of these quarterbacks on their roster?
So to begin with, I thought that that was the least likely of all scenarios. Yeah. I thought that was the least likely of all scenarios. But as it stands today, the NFL is an ever-evolving, ever-changing entity. And things can change so radically day to day. Do I think that that could happen? I do. I think that could happen. I think there could be a realistic possibility that they're both on the roster. What is leading me to believe that that is not going to happen, and what is leading me to believe that Justin Fields is going to get retained and that they may be flipping the number one pick, is the moves that have been made thus far in free agency. Mm-hmm. And the moves that have been made thus far in free agency are for the, shall we call them, the non-premium positions in today's NFL. Running back,
yeah,
tight end, safety, right? There hasn't been that splash acquisition really in the positions of critical need, which are wide receiver, interior offensive line. Although Ryan Bates, people want to argue back and forth on Ryan Bates from Buffalo. Here's the cold hard facts is 2 years ago, Bears fans were so pumped and begging for Ryan Bates to come here. We missed on him when we made the offer. Buffalo matched the offer sheet. We lost out on him and people lost it. Now, all of a sudden, Poles brings him in and everyone's pissed off that Bears fans just tend to be.
Wasn't he the savior 2 years ago? Yeah, absolutely.
The toxicity level is just outrageous. But anyway, I digress. There are just so many holes left on the offensive and defensive line, in my opinion. Edge, another position that hasn't been addressed yet, opposite of Montez Sweat. Interior D-line depth for Dexter and Pickens. I just don't see how with five draft picks, maybe they trade number nine back and they get a haul, but certainly not a haul you would get for the one pick. It just, everything, there's a theory out there called Occam's razor, which is usually there's two possible outcomes of something. And usually it's the most simplistic in your face, right in front of you, outcome, solution, whatever you want to call it. All the cards have been falling to support Fields staying, but people seem to be racking their brains over it and coming up with, everyone was, oh, it's going to be Atlanta, it's going to be Pittsburgh, or it's going to be, you know, maybe if Tampa Bay moves Baker, it'll be Tampa Bay. Then once all those teams got filled out, it was, well, you know, now it's going to be Minnesota or the Giants. Then those teams got, well, now it's going to be the Raiders, and that got filled out. Now people are saying it's going to be Seattle. It's just like people just keep on trying to keep the narrative alive, and that's, again, he may very well get traded. I want him to get traded. I'll say it again.
You want him gone?
I don't think there is any way that this man gets traded for anything less than a fourth round pick, number one. And I'm not sure that any team is going to give Ryan Poles that at this point, or they're just not shopping him at all. And that, to me, from how free agency has played out so far, just appears to be the direction that the Bears are going in, Adam, because they still need edge. They need D-line. They need O-line. And my God, do they need pass catchers. Darnell Mooney's gone. They have no wide receivers outside of DJ Moore. You can't do that, because what if Moore goes down for a month or 6 weeks? Who are they going to throw the ball to? Tyler Scott? No disrespect to Tyler Scott.
Don't besmirch Tyler Scott.
I'm not, but I hope the man slept with a jug machine the entire offseason. That's all I'm going to say. Great route runner, very fast. I just want to see him haul in some catches, because I think he can be dangerous, because he's certainly got the speed and athleticism. But who are they going to go with? Valus Jones and Tyler Scott? Yeah. That's not what's going to happen. They have to address that. And with the limited equity that they have left in this draft, five picks, they have great equity up top, but overall, it's very limited. It just seems like everything is pointing in that direction to me, Adam. And like, I just feel like I would be a fool to ignore it.
Yeah.
Even though I want it to go the other way.
It's interesting too, because, well, let's start here, because there is a possibility they end up with Fields and Caleb Williams. Now, I know Lewis Riddick was on ESPN today being like, this is unheard of. Like, you can't run a team like this. And I'm like, both teams that were in the Super Bowl this year drafted quarterbacks while they already had an established veteran. The 49ers did it. They had Jimmy Garoppolo, who they wanted to get away from. They drafted Trey Lance. Neither one of those guys were on the roster this year when they went to the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs had Alex Smith when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. So I don't want the Bears to be painted as some sort of clown organization if they do end up with Caleb Williams and Justin Fields. I started combining their names into Justin Williams.
Justin Williams. Yeah. That's fine. That's actually a good play on word.
But it is a possibility. Do you think that's likely though? Cause I've dismissed that for quite some time. I just can't imagine, cause Justin's way too popular and it's way too polarizing. And I think like the fans are just way too out of hand with it.
If they're going to keep Justin Fields, if that's the plan, if you're going to keep Justin Fields and that's your plan, I don't agree with the plan. I don't. Let me say it flat out. I don't agree with it. But if that is your plan moving forward, you flip the number one pick. You flip the number one pick. You get Marvin Harrison Jr. This is a deep O-tackle wide receiver draft. You go get a lineman at nine, an edge rusher at nine. You think probably if you flip that pick, you're going to have another second round pick. You're going to have a future first round pick potentially. So if you're going to keep Fields, I don't go down that road. I don't. But again, that being said, that's not the route I want to go. But again, Adam, like you said, I think it's very, I hope it's unlikely. I hope it's unlikely. Cause I just think that approach, I think you do one or the other, man. I think you either draft Caleb and you move on from Justin. But the thing is like the biggest mystery is, are the Bears truly actively shopping him or not? And until you know the answer to that question, the market is completely dried up thing is just hearsay. Because you don't know what the offers have been for him. Everyone's saying, well, you know, Poles was asking too much, and that's the reason he didn't get dealt. Is that necessarily true? Again, it's all going to play out. I think by draft night, I think that this whole situation, if it's not resolved after Caleb's pro day, there's not going to be any resolve till draft night. And people are just going to be banging their heads against the wall. When's his pro day, Adam? The 30th, I think, of this month?
It's a week from today. As a matter of fact,
it's not the 30th. It's next week. It's the 27th.
If it's not next week, it's really close.
If this doesn't get
it's on the 20th. Yeah, it's on the 20th.
If this doesn't get resolved by the end of that and within the few days following, and Justin Fields is still on this roster, it's not going to get resolved till draft night. Nobody will know a thing. Unless he trades the pick well before the draft, which I mean, I guess is possible, but at this point, every indication, I mean, in front of my face, and Adam, I think it's what you're saying as well. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Every indication looks like they're going to keep him. I mean, that's just what it looks like.
And just going off of history, if you want to look at what the Arizona Cardinals did a number of years ago when they drafted Kyler Murray, is they still had Josh Rosen on the roster. Josh Rosen was traded on that Friday night. So there was a day where both of those players were both on the roster of the Arizona Cardinals before they got them. I have just been, again, you know, listening to people, and you know, you gather information where you can, and people, and it feels like yours was spot on. Mine was more a feeling of everything. People who felt, you know, compelled to be, you know, people who are very, you know, not demonstrative, but we're like, no, they've made up their mind, but we don't know. I literally don't know unless unless Ryan Poles is telling me, I'm just like, okay, whatever. Like we'll figure it out in September. We'll see who the quarterback is going to be. But now we're just kind of going through the scenarios. And I think that, and this lends itself to everything, like whether it's professional wrestling, whether it's Star Wars or superhero movies, everybody puts thoughts into their mind of what the Bears should do. And if they don't follow what you think is best, then like this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Because I really do. I still believe in the idea of keeping Justin Fields because, look, if you trade, Washington's going to give up a lot. Like, I know people are like, Washington's not giving up. I'm like, listen, you've got a brand new ownership
group. Oh, no, they will.
Brand new ownership group. They know the value. Like, Magic Johnson is a part of this ownership group. He's also a part of the Dodgers ownership group who just recently gave $700 million to Shohei Ohtani. They know what it's like. Like, it's not necessarily about a player. And if you want to be, if you're the Commanders and you want to get rid of all the bad history of Dan Snyder and make people forget about that stuff, you don't mind giving up a couple of draft picks to get a player that everybody in the DC metro area is going to rally around. A guy coming home to play for that team would absolutely bring 3 first round picks, even moving up one spot. Because you got to pay that. You got to do it. Like you're not, if you're the Commanders, think of it from the Commanders' perspective. You're not going to be able to sell people on Drake May or Jaden Daniels.
No.
When Caleb Williams was available.
No,
they don't. They're just not going to accept that. And no matter what, and if Caleb Williams goes on and has an excellent career, that'll always be something that hangs over that Washington franchise. For as much as people talk about the Bears not drafting Caleb Williams, it's almost worse for Washington. Like, you guys didn't, like, you couldn't make a deal. You couldn't give up these picks to go get Caleb Williams. The Bears would have done it. So that has always been something that's been in the back of my mind, because I agree with you in the sense that Justin Fields still has some stuff to prove. He needs to take another step at least.
Yes.
But at the same time, if Justin does go this season and flames out, the Bears have 2 first round picks next season. Like that, okay, fine. Like, then you'll find your quarterback. Then I guarantee you there will be a quarterback.
Just imagine what the roster is going to look like at that point.
The roster, I mean, how much
better the roster will look overall. You know, you still do need a full team, you know, unless you're going to draft. And I don't care what anybody says. And Peter King said it today on Greg Gabriel's podcast or whatever podcast that is. Peter King said it today. He's like, how about the 2021 draft with all these guys, Fields, mm-hmm. Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Trey Lance. Trey Lance, complete and utter bust. Zach Wilson, complete and utter bust. Done. Trevor Lawrence, who was regarded as the highest touted prospect since Andrew Luck.
Of course.
He's been okay. It's okay. He's not a superstar yet, I wouldn't say by any means. Mac Jones, disaster in New England, to most degree a disaster. Justin Fields, he's been okay. I mean, he's been okay. Have there been bad things from the passing? Absolutely. But this is what Peter King was trying to relay, was that just because this guy is hyped to the degree he is, and just because he's a consensus 1-1, does not make him an automatic. And I think that's what people just have such a tough time accepting, that realizing, that whatever it is. And again, I'll say it again, I want to draft Caleb Williams. I want to roll the dice, because
this is the funniest part of this whole thing.
I don't want to miss on him, right? But
now you've upset everybody.
But you're going against you can't look at Kansas City as like the norm, okay? Mm-hmm. Because they struck generational gold on Patrick Mahomes at the 10th pick. That simply doesn't. Patrick Mahomes is on his way to be better than Tom Brady, potentially being in the conversation of being better than Tom Brady. That comes along once in a lifetime. The other team opposite him had a guy drafted when? When was, refresh my memory, Adam, when was Brock Purdy drafted?
The very last pick of the draft.
Okay, but their team's pretty damn good, right? Pretty good. Team, top to bottom, that roster's pretty damn good. What I'm saying is that just because you think you're going to whack it out of the park with a generational quarterback, first of all, that's completely up in the air and nobody can guarantee that. But second of all, unless they're going to be a superstar to the umpth degree like a Patrick Mahomes, you still need to put a team around this guy and man the equity they could get. And yes, the return from Washington is not going to be the same return if Washington was trading up from, let's say, 8 or 7.
I think it's still going to be very close.
Very good because of how highly touted Caleb is. And the fact he's a hometown guy and the fact Cliff Kingsbury's the offensive coordinator. All of that's going to play into effect. So it's fascinating how this whole thing is going to play out. The Bears are at the epicenter of the entire 2024 offseason. They're the epicenter of everything dictated for this offseason is going through Chicago. Everything, because no one knows. No one truly knows. My source says he knows. I'm trusting him on that. I could
I'm trusting him. Oh, so we know it's a guy.
I could wear egg all over my face on that. And like I told everyone on Twitter, if he gets traded, I'll be the first one to come out and say I was wrong. Not my source was wrong. I was wrong because once I tweet that out and he remains anonymous, I own it. So I'm going to own it. And Adam, you think I care?
I think you're vindicated.
I will sleep like a baby. Well, that's what I'm saying too. At what point are we going to like celebrate? Let's say Justin Fields on the roster and they draft Caleb and then they trade him in the preseason because a quarterback got hurt from another team and someone trades for Justin Fields. Are people going to come and say to me, oh, you see, you were totally wrong. Like, I think there has to be a point where we're saying, okay, he was right on this one. I just don't know where that point would be.
I would say draft night. I would say 100%. You nailed it because I think that everybody thought that the trade was imminent, that the move was going to be imminent. And when your source comes out and says that, like, things change. Like, there is so much that can change. Like, the Bears could be convinced that Caleb Williams is their person, and Washington could make such a ridiculous offer that you're like, okay, we still got to do this. Like, this is going to make our team so much better. So I think that you're vindicated. I was sort of, and even if Caleb Williams ends up as the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, I wouldn't necessarily be like, you got that wrong. Cause I think that what you were reporting ended up playing out. And I think there's still some work to be done inside Hallis Hall. There's still people listening because, as you said, there are multiple ways to build football teams. And going back to the 49ers, who again drafted Trey Lance when Jimmy Garoppolo was on the roster, both of those guys are gone. The reason the 49ers were able to stay so competitive and get to the Super Bowl this year, it's not so much because of Brock Purdy, but because of the team that they built around him. And what Ryan Poles could do if he moves that pick could end up building the Bears to be so good that it's foolproof, whomever the quarterback is. You know, I would even point this out. For everybody who is now taking shots at Justin Fields saying like, this guy is garbage, he's not a good player. Okay, that's fair. They still won 7 games this season. They lost 3 games where they had over a 90% chance of winning late in the fourth quarter. This is how good or how well this roster has been built in a short period of time. And if you have a chance to improve upon that, then I think that you go ahead and you go out and do that. Again, this will be a topic of conversation. I want to say you did a great job there. I do want to switch gears just a little bit because there have been some other moves that have been going on. Since we've talked recently, Jalen Johnson has been signed long-term. What did you make of that deal? I think we were both very, very hopeful that that deal was going to be done. Jalen Johnson was on the NFL Network today. Very happy to be a member of the Chicago Bears. How do you feel about that deal?
Yeah, great deal for all parties involved, I think. But the Bears, I think, did very well. You know, they came in under the franchise tag number by a little bit on the deal. You know, you want to keep homegrown talent. That's a drafted corner. He's a top five corner in the league. I don't think anybody would dispute that. He doesn't have, like, maybe the splashy, you know, flashy kind of plays like a Surtain or a Sauce Gardner. But he's as rock solid of a cover guy as it gets. I mean, he just is. You don't trade. He did ask for a trade, but you don't trade or just let a guy like that walk out of the building. Now, that we talked about non-premium positions. That is a premium position.
Premium. In
corner. You need corners. And right now, the base that they have with Tyreek Stevenson, the rookie from Miami last year, with Kyler Gordon, with Jalen Johnson, with Byard now, who they picked up in free agency, and with Brisker. I mean, the secondary is looking mighty fine. Secondary looks very strong. They did a good job. I mean, and that was a necessary move, Adam. I think me and you both would agree that that was a must get done deal. They couldn't let him. So when people, again, you know, fans, they want to see, if they don't see a new face coming from a new team, it's almost like it doesn't count that they gave Jalen Johnson that money, because it's like, he's already here. What else you got from me? Like, no, that is a big free agent acquisition for Ryan Poles and the Bears. He's a free agent. They kept him here. Like, that's if Jalen hit the open market, he's the best free agent available. So I don't know, besides Kirk Cousins, because we didn't know.
But top five at the very worst. Yeah.
Non-quarterback. He's, in my opinion, he's the best free
agent. More valuable than, bigger than Saquon Barkley, for sure.
I mean, it's a 100%. Premium position against a non-premium. So yeah, for me, he's the most, he would have been the most valuable. So for Poles to keep him in-house, tremendous. And you know, I like the other things he did too with safety. Cause again, the equity in the draft at this, as we stand today, is so limited. You know, where is he really going to burn a pick for a safety in the draft? I get drafting, but if you have the chance to address it in free agency, that's kind of what you're supposed to do rather than having to burn the draft equity.
No, I agree with you. And even with Kevin Byard, the thing of it is, and I saw the jokes like, oh, you gave up Eddie Jackson for, I'm like, well, you also saved $11 million. Like, the difference in the deals and the production will probably be very similar. We might have even gotten, I don't want to besmirch Eddie Jackson. Is Eddie Jackson even signed? Like, I don't know. I might have missed it.
I haven't seen Eddie signed anywhere yet. And if you look at Kevin Byard's numbers from PFF over the last year and 2 years, even as bad as he was in Philly, I think that was more of a system issue when he came over from Tennessee.
Yeah.
And Philly fans are dumping all over him. If you look at his overall numbers, coverage, every significant statistic, he was above Eddie Jackson in almost every single category, tackling, coverage, all of that. So, I mean, I do think that if not equal, I think it's probably, I don't want to say an upgrade because I don't want to besmirch Eddie either, but
yeah,
it's just like Eddie never got back to that 2017, 2018 form. It's true. He just never did. He got the bag and then it was kind of like he never returned to that level that we were accustomed to seeing. I mean, when Eddie finished that 2018 season, Adam, I was calling for him to be a gold jacket safety. I thought he was going to be a Hall of Fame. I mean, he was so remarkable his rookie and sophomore season that I thought he was going to be on track to be a Hall of Famer. And that just goes to show you how insanely difficult this league is, because you can look like the best player at your position, and certainly he arguably was at that time, and then it's like your time passes and it doesn't work out. But I think Byard's a fine replacement. And I like the depth signing from Green Bay yesterday as well, because that guy played around 75% of the defensive snaps.
Oh, yeah. Green Bay.
So, I mean, he's not like some special teamer who doesn't play. That's not the case. Again, if the fans don't recognize the name, if it's not a household name, they don't get that excited for it.
But it was great because his wife is Simone Biles. And she was already just trashing Green Bay. Like, you need to go check that. If you haven't seen this, like, she was because I know some people were kind of upset with it. And I saw some guy on Twitter go, like, watch this guy ask for number 30. I'm like, he is not going to ask for number 34. He's not a lunatic. Simone Biles should have won you over to this, because she was like, finally, I don't have to take a connector to go see my husband play football. I love Chicago. Like, oh, we're all in with it. This is the great, like, this to me is one of my favorite moves of all time, because she's already unloading on Green Bay, and I could not be happier. The GOAT. Like, when you talk about GOATs, and we're talking about Michael Jordan and people like that, you're like, well, Simone Biles is in that category for her sport. So it only makes sense that she's coming to Chicago, where she should fit right at home. You know, the goat talk is right. Cause like when you talk of the goat of goats, you know, Simone Biles has to be in that conversation, and she might even be like, compared to her peers, might be, I don't want to get it. No, sorry. Jordan's number. Sorry. I don't want to get into that.
No, yeah, you can't go
Simone's
MJ,
number.
No, Simone is certainly, listen, if you're talking about a mega celebrity personality too, I mean, I'll put Simone up there with Taylor Swift. Let's go.
Right?
I'll take Simone Biles. I mean, Simone Biles would kick the crap out of Taylor Swift in a fight. I'm taking Simone Biles. She's tough. She's tough.
Listen. And for anybody who believes that the NFL was favoring the Kansas City Chiefs because of Taylor Swift, I had joked. I saw Cole Kmet at the Super Bowl. I'm like, you got to start dating a superstar, like Dua Lipa. I don't know who it would be. I'm not as plugged in to that scene either. But I'm like, but Simone Biles counts. Like, yeah, let's get Simone Biles to the Super Bowl, especially during an Olympic year. Like, we need to make this happen. So I'm a huge fan of that. I love that. I like DeAndre Swift too. I know that for fantasy purposes, people are upset because whatever, but I'm like, no, that's a good running back. And now, similar to David Montgomery going to Detroit last year, even though he was in Philadelphia, Swifty coming over to Chicago playing the Lions. I love this move.
Listen, there's certain guys that I watched last year that to me just jumped off the screen. And DeAndre Swift was one of those guys in Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia's offensive line, we know, is one of the more stellar units in the league. Now, without Kelsey, we'll see how they do this year, but they certainly were last year, and I'm sure that helped in having to defend AJ Brown and the Slim Reaper and Goddard. It all is relative. Again, got to have a great roster. Can't just be one guy. Got to have a great roster to make it work. Got to have a great O-line. Got to have weapons on the outside so the inside opens up. And it did for Swift last year. And for the life of me, when I would watch the Eagles play last year, Adam, I would just say to myself, why are they not running the ball to DeAndre Swift more? Every time this guy touches the ball, it seems like he's ripping 6-7 off a carry. He was electric for the Eagles last year running the football. I'm glad to have him here. I hope the O-line gets bolstered. You know, we got Bates. We just picked up a swing tackle today from San Francisco. So, you know, I'm hoping that gets bolstered to the point where, but we're always decent in the run. We are always decent in the run. So, you know, I think Swift with Roshan is a nice little combo. You know, you throw Khalil Herbert in there, but Swift, make no mistake about it, is the lead guy. And I like Roshan a lot. I do.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great spell back for him. I think kind of the odd man out, to be honest. And, you know, I know people like him. I think the odd man out probably is Khalil. But I like Swift a lot. I like Swift.
Yeah. It's tough to say. You see a lot of teams running three running backs. And we do see that the Bears also signed Gerald Everett, which means a lot of 12 personnel. You know, I was trying to talk about 12 personnel before, joking around about if the Falcons were going to swing a trade for the number one pick in the draft. I'm like, bring in Kyle Pitts. And everybody's like, we've already got a tight end. Like, no. The Bears want to run 12 personnel. It was shown with Gerald Everett being in there. So that's good. One thing that I do want to note is obviously you mentioned earlier that Darnell Mooney is going to the Atlanta Falcons. Rooting for him. I have nothing bad to say about Darnell Mooney. Wish him well down there. We saw that the Tennessee Titans not only they've made a couple of moves on the offensive line, but they've also they signed the center. They brought in Calvin Ridley just right now. So now 7 and 8 are going or have wide receivers, which again, I don't think it precludes them. It doesn't eliminate them from the conversation of drafting a wide receiver, but with both teams, like they have holes to fill. So it would seem a little weird that they reach for one of those wide receivers. If the Bears stay at number 9, now I made this joke on Twitter, like, listen, Roma Dunze and Malik Nabers could both be sitting there for Ryan Poles to pass on and take Dallas Turner. But what do you think the Bears would do if they stay at number 9? Do you think they take a wide receiver if one of those two guys is available?
Listen, you take a look at where the money is on this team. It's all on the defensive side of the football. You take a look at the big free agent signings, most of them from last year, defensive side of the football. They have to start. And I mean, there's no way that Poles isn't aware of, like a child would be aware of that, but you can't do both in the same offseason. Can't do both. You can't go all in on one and all in on the other. It doesn't work that way. I would be shocked if they stay at nine, forget about what they do at one. We could talk about that until we're blue in the face. They stay at nine, and Odunze and Neighbors are available. I mean, it would be soul crushing. And they don't pick up, like, let's say they don't sign a Tyler Boyd, and they don't sign a Mike Williams, who I'm not really Mike Williams gets hurt so much. I'm not too keen on that. Michael Thomas just got released. But let's say they don't take any of the free agent guys. They don't trade for T. Higgins. If they pass on Neighbors and Odunze, I would be gutted, because they need another guy. Like, DJ Moore is great. That was a great starting point. But Claypool was a total bust, and for whatever reason, Darnell Mooney just didn't work out. So they need another legitimate rookie stud, kind of like what Minnesota did with Jefferson and Addison. That's kind of what the Bears should model after. DJ is your Justin Jefferson, not to that level. Everybody is going to go nuts about that. Maybe not to the level of Justin Jefferson, but certainly a bona fide wide receiver one in this league. But back him up with a rookie deal wide receiver who's a consensus number one wide receiver as well. And now you're talking.
There's other guys too, because I'm thinking about like Brian Thomas Jr. or somebody else, Ladd McConkey, who, by the way, I found out today, I always just assumed there was a relation to Phil McConkey, which a lot of you kids won't know. He was a player from the 80s, 90s, somewhere around there, early Tecmo Bowl. But there are other values out there. And we saw what players like Tank Dell were able to do. So for me, I think that you can do it. Regardless of what happens, and I could see it. You know, I could see them if they went with Caleb Williams and went and somehow managed to get Malik Neighbors or Rome Odunze. Like, that would be fun. That would help me get over, like, losing Justin Fields. Like, one of those things, like, okay, like, you know, you didn't get to go to Disneyland, but you're like, but, you know, you get to go to Target and buy something. You're like, all right, like, I can deal with this.
It's a good analogy.
But it is, it'll be interesting because, as you said, as well as the Bears performed last year, and they did pretty well, very close. They're in the playoff mix, but there are still they're still drafting in the top 10, which means there are still some holes to fill. Like, you got to move back from nine. Like, I don't know. Like, I would love to have it, but I'm like, do you want to be, I don't know. Maybe you want to be that top heavy. There's so much going on. And now it just feels like we're all speculating. Now we're all just trying to figure out the pieces, and there's one person who knows, and it's you. No, it is. It's Ryan Poles. I will say this, though, because I spend too much time on Twitter. I keep seeing him trending. Like, why are the Bears fans so upset? Like, again, like, we're in a pretty good spot still. Like, how you lived through the Ryan Pace era. What Atlanta is going through is kind of the stuff that we went through for years, where we'd be like in March, like, how does this team not win the division? And then we're sitting there in September getting our asses kicked by the Packers. Like, no, I don't mind not winning per se in March.
Winning free agency very rarely translates to winning in the NFL season. Like, you don't see teams that overspend in free agency that consistently do well, you know, during the season. And again, the Bears are not one guy away, or like, they weren't like a Christian Wilkins away from being a Super Bowl contender.
It would have been nice, but yeah, that was a lot of money.
Yeah, of course it would have been nice. Yeah, $110 million. There was no chance they were going to do that. I mean, there's just no chance. Now, again, nine is the conversation, because Adam, I'm with you 100%. As it stands today, I just, common sense just won't allow me to believe that they're going to keep that one and nine pick, that they're going to stay at one and nine. I just can't. I can't see
something's
that
happening. Yeah.
Something is going to happen. What it's going to be, I don't know, all I can tell you is that from my understanding, Justin Fields will still be a Bear come next season. So we'll see.
All right. Do you have some time to take a couple of questions from the crowd?
Sure. Sure.
Oh, love it. All right. Yeah, we do have a couple of questions. Everybody be civil. I know we're going to Bruja 7. Okay. This guy's good. What effect has delayed the medical visit after the combine had on Poles' decision? I don't know how much of it. I mean, they still need to go see it, and it was going to come down to his pro day regardless, but I don't think that it's had too much, but what have you heard, Mike?
Here's what I don't think it's a one I don't think it's a one stroke penalty, so to say. I think there is a, I think you have to look at the totality of the circumstances surrounding Caleb Williams and the drama that has surrounded him since the end of this last college campaign at USC, the last season he had, with all the things about going into the crowd to his mom and refusing to go to the handshake line or refusing to take the press conference. And now the medical thing, not thrown at the combine, which plenty of great quarterbacks haven't thrown at the combine, but the medical thing. There's certain things, though, that I'm sure that the GMs of every team take note on. I'll give you an example today. Devin Hester came out today. Devin Hester said the Bears would be better off keeping Fields and not drafting Caleb Williams, trading number one overall pick. It got tweeted out from whatever podcast or television show, whatever it came from. Caleb Williams liked it. And obviously, people are going to be able to find that because people stalk these guys' accounts to see what they like.
He doesn't hide his likes.
And someone, right, and someone already put it out. Now, he has to know, Caleb Williams, that is, has to know that that is going to be seen. It's going to be put out there. And if I'm a GM at this point, I'm just like, man, can you just take a step back? You're about to be a multi-millionaire set for the rest of your life. All the endorsement deals you ever could dream of. Like, could we just not engage that or give any more to that narrative if we really intend on making you the face of our organization? So if you're sitting here and everyone that loves Caleb Williams, Adam, will dismiss anything and everything Caleb Williams has ever done wrong, ever. And I want him. But you can't say that some of these decisions he's made are not childish and stupid. You just can't. Yeah. So there has to be a balance on both sides. You can't just say, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. No. For every single thing, eventually, like, those things add up and it's like, man, like, dude, like, just reel it in a little bit.
If you're not through the second season of Ted Lasso, you might want to tune out for a second. I've watched two seasons of the show, so this is... I'm approaching the end of the second one, but I think I know where it's headed because there's a storyline going on, and they give it too much attention where when Nate kind of fills in for Ted and he really gets enamored with what people are saying about him on Twitter and the positive and negative affects him. It's made me think of Caleb Williams. So it's like, cause you know, like you're a savvy enough person to know that when you're liking that post, there was another thing too, where somebody was talking about how poorly the Washington professional teams have performed over the last couple of years. And he either retweeted that or liked that. He knows what he's doing. I mean, even Justin Fields in a way knows what he's doing when he unfollows the Bears. It's like, why are you engaging in this? And is this something that's going to end up being a problem with you? And if you are going to Chicago, you have to know, like, this is not that kind of stuff's not going to play and they're going to be on you. I don't know. So again, as somebody who is kind of into the roster building part of this whole dynamic, and I know, and it's funny too, because the Justin Fields people are like, you're back. And I'm like, I was never gone. I was just telling you what people tell me. Like, you and I are sitting here like, this is what people tell us. Like, we're neither one of us are in that building, but we have connections and like, this is what we're hearing. And ultimately it doesn't matter because obviously Justin Fields wasn't traded, but what Caleb does sometimes, you're like, dude, you're not helping yourself. Like, just as a friend, I would be like, dude, don't do this. Like, don't, like, even my friends tell me, they're like, stop retweeting Yahoo's fantasy stuff. And I'm like, I got to do it. But I'm a button pusher. I'm a professional troll. So that's just me. What about another question there, Sammy? How do you all feel about if the Bears traded number one for Justin Jefferson? First of all, probably not going to happen. For me, I would love it because like, it would be rad to have Justin Jefferson is the known person. Like, we know Justin Jefferson's good in the NFL. We don't know about Caleb Williams. I think I would do that. Cause I think I could. Yeah. I'd feel okay. That'd be fine with me. What about you?
No, I'll trade 9 for Justin Jefferson. I'm not trading one. I'm not trading one. One's way too valuable because you think about it. If you really want to move off one, and I know he hasn't played an NFL snap yet, but if you move off one, you could almost do it in a way in which you could guarantee yourself to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. In my opinion, there's only one slam dunk, can't miss generational prospect in this draft. And to me, that's Marvin Harrison Jr. I think no matter what happens, that's the one guy to me that I just – as high as he gonna get, as high as he will get drafted, that's the one guy who I would almost bet my life on will not disappoint. He will not disappoint. He will deliver. And so if you're talking about trading the one pick, I'd rather make a move like that where I could get Harrison and then I'm going to get other picks and things like that. JJ's great. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not. One is just this year. One is worth way too much. It's worth because way you're too
getting,
much.
You're getting Marvin Harrison Jr. on a rookie deal.
Last year, maybe. Last year's
yeah,
one.
Last year for sure. Yeah, because you're getting Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, you know what? I changed my answer. Yeah, you're right. Marvin Harrison Jr. on a rookie contract, multiple picks with it. By the way, I think the worst possible scenario for Bears fans, I think this is where everybody would come together, is if they traded the pick, they traded down, and then went with another quarterback. To me, that's the scenario that can happen. Or shouldn't happen. What about you?
The scenario of what? Say that.
What
again?
If the Bears move down? If they traded the number one to Washington, and then they're like, "Yeah, we're going to take one of the other quarterbacks." I would not. That would not sit well with me.
No. Yeah, I would rather they maneuver themselves in a position where they could get a quarterback, maybe in the second round, maybe like a JJ
Bo
McCarthy,
Nicks, whatever,
or like a Bo Nix. The problem with McCarthy now is like McCarthy is being projected. McCarthy's stock has risen incredibly since the end of the national championship game. Like, it's just, oh, he's going to be the next hidden gem that people find, which I'm not going to get into that. But I would much rather they wait. If they're not going to take a quarterback at one, I would rather they wait.
Yeah, 100%. And for sure. Okay, listen, I want to thank you for being here. I want to let everybody know, traditionally on Wednesday, we let people go off. AEW is coming up here at the top of the hour. The Tape Never Lies Network will be on in about 40 minutes from now. But also, for anybody who is watching the show right now, the Sick Podcast, our Tennessee edition, they're going to have a live show, or they're recording a show. I don't know what it is, Sammy. What are they going live? At 8 o'clock Eastern, obviously with everything that's been going on with the Tennessee Titans, they're making their trade. They're going to go live. So if you're a fan of the Tennessee Titans or just want to listen to some more football talk, our friends over at the Sick Podcast, Tennessee Titans, they're going to be talking about the Calvin Ridley deal, everything that's been going on with them. So we're going to cut it off a little bit here because, again, we'll end up just talking around in circles because this has been a conversation we've been having for months. But I did want to get you on. I'm glad we were able to get you on. And again, not talking behind your back, just having conversations. It's always fun to have, on. And, we always appreciate your insight and everything. And, I know everybody knows where to follow you, but for the 6,000 people who are watching live right now, where else can they find you?
Across all platforms at Bear Down Cuz, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. But that's pretty much it. So I appreciate it. I'm always a pleasure. I never take anything personal. Talking behind the back.
I thought it was complimentary. I never said
never. And to everyone in the chat box making all their comments, I wish you nothing but health and happiness. That's all I can.
I don't even read those. I can. I do though.
I enjoy reading them, and I wish them all health and happiness to everyone.
Yes. We're just trying. We're all Bears fans. Everybody chill out. It's going to be fine. This is going to play out how it plays out. There's nothing we can do about it. So just sit back and enjoy the ride and have a good time. Thanks to Bear Down Cuz for being here, for Sammy and Anello. And of course, I'm Adam. Bear Down. And Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.